Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. And we've been looking at verse number 3, which says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." And last time we started looking at this issue of the will of God and talked about how individuals have taken this aspect of the will of God and have really kind of destroyed the idea of what it is that God has stated his will is. And we left off last time, we were going through an article entitled, "Is it God's Will That All People Be Saved?" And so what we're going to do is we're going to pick up with this article today. If you missed part one of this article, I would encourage you to listen to last week's episode first, so that way you can hear the first part of this article. And like I said, we're going to pick up here with the second half of the article here, which starts with a section entitled, "A Look at the Word Aeonian." Universalism is the doctrine that God will ultimately bring all people and all dispensations to a state of reconciliation with him. In other words, each and every person who ever lived will be saved. Consequently, universalism cannot allow the contingency of an eternal hell as a realistic biblical teaching. To get around the problem of the Bible translating Greek words into eternal, forever, and everlasting when describing fire, such as Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, or torment, such as Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the universalist will go to the Greek. The Greek word that is translated into eternal is aeonian. It comes from the Greek root aeon, meaning age. This fact, combined with the various uses of Greek words derived from the root aeon, are what universalists will use to show that aeonian does not always mean eternal, but can refer to a finite period of time. The truth is, they are right. It can be translated into a temporal sense. Consider the following. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began," with "began" being translated from the word aeonian. The reason it is translated this way is because of context, and that is extremely important. Context determines meaning, as we shall show later. With the claim that aeonian can be translated into something temporal and that its root means age, the universalist then says that any reference to eternal fire, eternal torment, or eternal punishment is not really eternal. Instead of eternal punishment, it is aeonian punishment. Instead of eternal torment, it is aeonian torment. Instead of eternal damnation, it is aeonian damnation. That way, to the universalist, there is no eternal hell, no eternal punishment, and no eternal damnation. Hence, the conclusion is that everyone could be saved. This approach by the universalist can be very confusing to most who do not understand the English and Greek languages. Hence, this becomes a major reason that universalism has followers. It is true that the root aeon means age, but just because a root means age does not mean that every word derived from that root means a limited duration of time. For example, consider this verse that is speaking about God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. The context is obviously dealing with God's eternal nature. The word in Greek for immortality is athanatos. The Greek word for death is thanatos. The A in front of the word is the negator, without non, etc. It means that God is deathless, hence immortal. This is an eternal quality of God. Likewise, the verse states that God has eternal, everlasting power. The word for eternal is aeonian, which is derived from the Greek root aeon, which means age. But God is not immortal for only an age, nor is his power temporal. The word everlasting is absolutely the best way to translate the Greek word aeonian, because God is immortal and everlasting. Therefore, it would be wrong to translate the verse by stating that God has aeonian power or dominion. Rather, he has everlasting power. How is aeonian used in the New Testament? The following two sections are verses which contain the word aeonian, which is translated as eternal or everlasting. Notice how the word eternal in the first group is no problem, but it is the second group with which the universalists will object. Nevertheless, the same word is used in both. See for yourself. And here's section one of this. First one is John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Romans chapter 5, verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 16, verse 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, for the obedience of faith. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. Who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. And the last one in this section, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The following set of scriptures divulge the reality of eternal damnation. First one here, Matthew chapter 18, verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. It is interesting that the above verses use the word aeonian for the unsaved as well as the saved. They allow the word to mean eternal when it comes to life, but not when it comes to condemnation. Yet the above verse shows eternal has to be true of both. And the fourth verse in this section here, Mark chapter 3, verse 29. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Mark chapter 10, verse 30. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Luke chapter 18, verse 30. Who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And lastly, Jude chapter 1, verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These two lists are by no ways exhaustive, but they do give us a good sampling on how the word aeonian is used. It should be quite obvious that there is an eternal punishment and that universalism is nothing more than a hopeful wish. No one is justified in picking and choosing the meaning of a word based upon their interpretations of that word, which suits them. Is there eternal punishment? The teaching that there is an eternal hell in which hordes of mankind will suffer eternal punishment can be a difficult doctrine to accept. We hear so much about God's infinite love and how he desires that all men be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. However, those who develop their theologies based upon the gentle side of God do so with an incomplete picture. Not only is God loving, 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, gracious, Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, and merciful, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, and Psalm 67, verse 1, but he is also holy, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, and Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, just, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, and Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 32 through 33, and hates sin, Psalm chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, and Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. God punishes the individual who has not had a perfect sin sacrifice applied to his account. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible teaches that there is a fiery hell, a place that Jesus warned Israel about. Matthew chapter 18, verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire is real. Jesus said it was. In fact, Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. We know this is partly due to the fact that the body of Christ is to receive the heavenly positions, not Israel, and this information was still kept secret. It is what Jesus came to save people from. There will be a day of judgment when all people will face God. Those who are not covered by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross will be cast out into hell, where they will undergo eternal punishment. We need to know that hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. In this verse, the same word eternal is used to describe the punishment of the wicked as well as the eternal life of the believer. The punishment is endless, as is the eternal life of the righteous believer. That is why the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, is so important, because it saves people from eternal damnation today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Following are a few of the many verses that show the eternity of hell and punishment in the lake of fire. We need to note that God uses different phrases to describe the same thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Jude, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over the fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In Jude verses 12 and 13, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds there without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, whose without fruit twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The phrase forever and forever is used both of describing God's eternal worth and the duration of eternal damnation. The exact same Greek phrase is used in each of the verses in the chart below. And this is dealing with forever and ever, and then there's the Greek words for aeonis ton aeonian, ages of the ages. So eternal without end, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Now, dealing with eternal damnation, Revelation chapter 19, verse 3. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And a devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Greek phrase aeonis ton aeonian, which is translated forever and ever, occurs 18 times in the Greek New Testament. In 17 of them, the phrase means without end or extending into infinity. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 3, the phrase is used to describe the destruction of the great whore of Babylon, Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 and 4, whose smoke ascends forever and ever. It too is eternal, and it signifies the beginning of eternal judgment that comes upon her. also worth examining is Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. The Greek in Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, is only slightly different. In the table above, forever and ever, is translated from the Greek aeonis ton aeonian, which is literally ages of the ages. In the latter, the single Greek word of the is missing, but is not necessary and does not change the meaning of the text. Therefore, the scripture teaches the smoke of their torment goes up forever without end. Unquenchable fire. Some believe that the fires of hell are symbolic and or temporal, but the following verses show that they are not. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Luke chapter 3, verse 17. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire, unquenchable. The word unquenchable is asbestos in the Greek. According to the Enhanced Strong's lexicon, it means unquenchable, the eternal hellfire to punish the damned. The word is only used in these three verses. Is hell eternal? Yes, it is. Are its fires without end? Yes, they are. Is it a pleasant doctrine to talk about? Not really, but hell is real. Is it God's desire that all should be saved? Yes, it is. Will all be saved? No, they will not. This is why we need to have an urgency to preach the gospel of God's grace to all we come in contact with. So that's the end of this article. We can kind of see how, really, from looking at the scriptures, that God does have a will that all men would be saved. He wants all of mankind to accept the gospel that is laid out. And I'm going to reread the gospel here that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the message we're to be getting out to all of mankind. This is what we should be praying for when we talk about a door of utterance, the opportunities to be able to share this message with other individuals. That way they can experience the salvation that God's word talks about. There is a hope that is there for all of mankind. You know, Paul writes in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, about how the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So the grace of God is here. It is, you know, there for all of mankind to be able to have access to. It is up to individuals to put their trust in this gospel message for today. And it is up to us, the saved individuals, those who are part of the body of Christ, it is up to us to get this message out, to be sharing it with other individuals, so that way they can receive the salvation that God's word talks about. Now we'll pick up and continue looking at the text of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 next time. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.